No, it's always, I think I will apologize for teaching on the anointing. But we will carry on, amen, as the Lord continues to place his word. And, you know, it's a blessing that I was listening to someone and he was saying that meditation begets meditation. That means that the more that you reflect on the word of God, the more it opens up. It's like an onion, huh? Once you open up one layer, then you find another layer, then you find another layer, then you find another layer, until it finally cracks. And I pray that even as you keep on reflecting on the Spirit of God, reflecting on the Holy Spirit, reflecting on the anointing, that that breakthrough will happen. And that's my prayer, that you shall, it will not just be a teaching, but it shall be a mindset. That it shall be a mind by which you live, by which you know that you are a child of God, by which you know that you're given the very Spirit that was on Jesus, the same Spirit that Moses had, the same Spirit that David had, the same Spirit that Paul, that Peter, that the disciples had, that same Spirit that David had, that Daniel had, that Joseph had, that same Spirit is the Spirit of Christ that you have today. Amen.
Amen.
And that is what we call the mindset. To have that mind that you are anointed and you have the mindset of the anointed. Amen.
Amen.
And you know, we keep saying that the anointing is symbolic. It is symbolism of the oil and of the pouring or smearing upon that was done to consecrate someone. It set someone apart. When someone was anointed, you now belong to God. Amen?
Amen.
And what we did last week, when we did the anointing service, we marked people for God. Amen?
Amen.
And when the enemy comes, he finds oil on you. And he says, touch not. Amen?
Amen?
Touch not the anointed. And do my prophets no harm. So there is the marking that God marks you. And he pours that oil and you become, you belong to him, and God places his ownership on you. Amen. And so it is a contact point. We use it as a contact point to declare that you belong to God. And it symbolizes two things: the anointing within and the anointing upon. Amen. The anointing within is the work of the Holy Spirit in you. The one that guides you, the one that teaches you all truth, the one that directs you, corrects you when you're wrong. He's the one that is angry when you've done something wrong. I tell you, when you learn to walk with the Spirit of God, even when you have made a mistake, the Holy Spirit within you will be sad. And you will know that the Holy Spirit is not happy. And when he's not happy, then what do? You confess your sins. And you tell him you're sorry. And what he does is that he restores to you the joy of the Holy Spirit, the joy of that fellowship. Amen. And then the anointing upon is now when God places something that is supernatural on you. Either it can be an anointing for wisdom, it can be a gift for prophecy, it can be a gift for healing, it can be a gift for speaking in tongues. That becomes something upon that the Lord pours upon you. And the beauty of the New Testament is that every believer is entitled to receive the Holy Spirit, but unfortunately not every believer walks in the anointing because of lack of renewal of the mind, because of ignorance. And you know, they say in law, if ignorance is not a defense, when you meet a traffic policeman and he tells you you broke the law and you say I don't know the law, in fact he's very, very happy. He can charge you 5 times the penalty because you're ignorant. So when you're ignorant, you pay the price of the ignorance. But when you know your rights, when you know that you're a child, when you know that God's blessing and God's hand is upon you, then you are able to walk in victory. So today we are learning about the mindset. So what is a mindset? A mindset is a pattern of thoughts. It's like a viewpoint of life. It's what you will call an outlook, a lens, a vista by which you see things, by which you approach matters, by which you live your life. You know, when you have a mindset that you are ugly, even if you put on the nice dress, You just say, well, people are looking at how happy I am.
When you have a mindset that you are a failure, even if you have passed, you will think, maybe they made a mistake. Maybe they are going to correct the marks again and I will have failed.
That mind can make you live as a failure, yet you are a conqueror. Amen? Now, if your mindset, it is how you view your life. When you see yourself as weak, anytime when you see yourself as marginalized, maybe you're from the small communities, every time you even send an application, you say, ah, but we are the minorities. So even if I apply, I am not going to get anywhere. That is a mindset that can cage you. It can put you in a prison and you fail to get the blessings of God. Because without faith, it is impossible to please God. If you're going to access anything from God, you need faith. And that is a mind that stands on the word of God, claims it, and believes it irrespective of what is happening around. Amen? You can think what the Bible says in Proverbs 23, verse 7. For as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. The way you think, so you are. That means that if you think you are a failure, you are a failure. There is a point where God agrees with you. If you think you're going to be blessed, if you think you're going to be promoted, if you think you're going to prosper, then the Bible is telling you, as a man thinketh, so is he. The way you think in your heart, there are people who have believed that they are going to die, and for sure they die. But what made them to die? It is because some information was added to them. When that information came, and it preached to them a certain message, and then they started seeing certain signs, oh, maybe the body is shaking, oh, this is swelling, oh, these are the signs of death. And you wake up and you start telling yourself, by the way, I'm actually dying. Or you cough a bit, maybe it was just brushing your teeth and someone came, oh, I have TB. Before you know it, those signs will come to pass. Why? Because as a man thinks, so he is. Philippians chapter 2 verse 5 tells us, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. That means that there is a mind that Jesus walked on the earth. Yes, last week we were lying about the anointing of the Son of God. He knew that there is something that God had given him that gave him a purpose on the earth. To preach the good news to the poor, to preach deliverance to the captives, to proclaim liberty to those that are oppressed, to give sight to the blind. So we are being told there is a mind that Christ had, that let this mind which be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, and that is speaking about humility. Now, let us look at Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. The Bible says, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, think on these things or meditate on these things. Do you know what is worry? Worry is when you are thinking of your problems. When you think about what you don't have, you are actually meditating on your fears. When you think about what you are missing, it's just like if you are, let's say, you are in a relationship and or in a marriage and you only see the negatives in your spouse or in a child. If you focus on the negatives, they will grow. But if you look at the big things, if you look at the blessings, you will see the blessing that God gave you in your husband or in your wife. So when you meditate on things, you must choose what to think of. That's why Jesus said, do not worry about your life. What you will eat, what you will drink, what you will wear, where you will study. Why? Because the Gentiles think about these things. They worry about these things. But he says, but you, seek ye first the kingdom of God and its righteousness, and all these things that the Gentiles are running after shall be added unto you. There is a mindset that gives you the kingdom purpose, that you are seeking first God, knowing that you have a father that even before you ask him when you're praying, he already knows what you need. Even before you ask, your mindset will change how you see things. Your mindset will change how you see yourself in the office. You might just think of yourself as a very small person. But if you know you carry the very presence of God, you know you're even bigger than the president. But there is a humility that God gives you that you are there to serve, but you are not small. You are given the grace of God. So the mind is very important, and your heart is, because God judges the heart. He looks at our hearts. And I tell you, the greatest warfare that we have today is not even really about fighting the devil. It's a warfare of the mind. To bring to agreement of your mind what Christ has said and what you see. What God has said, what he has forever settled in heaven, and what you see on the earth. There is a warfare that you must understand, that if you don't win the battle in your mind, you're going to live a defeated Christian. The Bible says, by his stripes you are healed. That means that healing for you was accomplished by God when his son was on the cross, when he was beaten on his stripes. By his stripes you are healed. Now the question is, what is truth? Truth is what God says to be true. There may be a fact. A fact is something in our reality. But there is truth that is above facts. The truth of God's word is that he already accomplished your healing. Your job is to receive it, to walk in it. Think of how Jesus will walk. Jesus will meet a fig tree. He wanted fruit from the fig tree. And there was nothing. And he said, no one shall eat from this fig tree until... And then he walked away. Jesus did not look back at the fig tree. It is his disciples who came back and told him, Master, the tree you cast yesterday, died off. And he said, but I told you, have faith in God. If you have faith as a small as a mustard, there is a principle that when you have spoken to God, when you have believed God, and your mindset is as God has answered, then you don't even look back at it. Your job is to see, God, you dealt with this. It is settled. I don't agree with what the enemy is saying, or what the enemy is manifesting. Look at Numbers 13, verse 33. The Bible says, when the 12 spies by the Israelites were sent to go and spy the land, the promised land. When they went to the land of Anak. And this is where Goliath came from, eh? The Anakites, the Anak. And then where they said that, they saw the descendants of Anak and the giants, and they said, and we were like grasshoppers in our own sight. And so we were in their sight. The giants did not call them grasshoppers. It is them who saw themselves as grasshoppers. Because they saw themselves as grasshoppers, the Bible says they became grasshoppers in the eyes of the giants. Can you imagine how tiny a grasshopper is? Now, they were walking. They see the giant. They started becoming small and small and small and small until they became a grasshopper in their own sight. Now that is what we call the grasshopper mentality. Where you see yourself as inferior, yet God has raised you up to be his son. God has raised you up. He has given you every right. When you are adopted as a child of God, the Romans understood an adopted son had every right of inheritance as a normal child. God has adopted us into his family. That is why Jesus is not ashamed to call us his brothers. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not wage war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. And then it says, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled.
There is a warfare of the mind that when you start to put in negative thoughts, when you start to think, oh, I'm a failure, oh, I am black, oh, I am short, oh, I am fat, oh, I am lazy, oh, I don't know mathematics, oh, anything I do just collapses, oh, my clothes are old. You know what it does? It's like building walls. It's a stronghold. You're adding one brick of negativity. You're adding another brick of failure. You're adding another brick of disappointment. You're adding another brick of rejection. You're adding another brick of saying that you're ugly. And when you add this, what it becomes? It becomes a stronghold. Now, when it is a stronghold, it takes more effort to break it down. Now, God is saying that you must bring every thought into captivity and make it obedient to Christ. That means that that which the enemy keeps speaking in your ear that you cannot move forward, you have to bring it into captivity and say, you are my prisoner. And from today, I speak a different language. Amen. The Bible tells us, do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may be able to prove what is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. We renew our minds by the word of God. The reason you come to church to listen to the word of God is so that your mind is renewed. The reason you read the word of God each and every day is to remind yourself what God has said. I tell you, if you don't read, you forget. Yes, you have read the Bible, Genesis to Revelation. If you don't read again, you will forget. Yes, you have read this book before. Read it again. There is something that God does when you repeat things that it has to enter. Even science tells you, the more you repeat something, then your muscle memory takes over. There's a point where musicians don't look at the keyboard. They just know C is here, G is here, D is here. Why? Because there is a point where the brain and the body comes to be one. Now, there is a point where you and the word of God must come into one. That you can think of Psalms 23 and the Bible says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And then you stop there on that wanting and you ask yourself, is it saying that I shall not need or I shall not want? Then you ask yourself, which is higher, the needs or the wants? Then you realize that God is saying that the wants are higher than the needs. You know, when you're growing up, you're told, is this a need or a want? If it is a need, basic needs. You need food, you need clothing, you need school, you need education, you need some shelter. Eh? But then when you ask for a car, your father will say, you're wanting too much. But God is saying that the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. That means that even that which you're desiring over and above that is normal, God is saying that when you are His, when He is your Lord, when you decide to become His sheep, you know, a sheep has no mind of its own. They call sheep stupid, but they're not stupid. They are very clever. They just know, I just need to hear one voice, the voice of the shepherd. The sheep just knows, I just need one voice. If my shepherd has not called, I don't need to move. Just eat. Where we will eat tomorrow, the shepherd knows. If the green grass, the good grass is here, the shepherd will bring it. We will sit, we will eat. He takes me beside still waters. I will not worry that the water will carry me. There is a place where you become one with the word. As you meditate, I shall not want. Then you ask yourself, what are the things God says about being a shepherd? Oh, He says He is a good shepherd. That means that He protects the sheep. He goes after the lost. That means that even if I get lost, He will leave the 99 and look for me. I tell you, there is no one that is so lost that God cannot find. God will find you. You will stay away from God, but God will look for you. He He will send someone to remind you. You will wake up and you'll say, but what am I doing? I'm a fox brother. Why am I not even coming to church? And you just wake up. You try to sleep. Why? That is the shepherd looking for the sheep, looking for the one, leaving the 99. So there is a mindset that you must have that brings you into unity with the Word of God, that even your thinking becomes guided by the Word of God. How you make your decisions becomes guided by the Word of God. How you do your marriage becomes guided by the Word of God. How you choose your spouse becomes guided by the Word of God. Because it's a viewpoint of life. It's a mindset. Now, there is a mindset of the anointed. And if you look at David, and one of the persons that helps us to understand the anointing is actually David. If there is someone who has written so much on the anointing, if there is someone who so much has been written about the anointing, he's actually David. And he speaks so much about the anointing, even in the Psalms, in his writings, that from that we can be able to understand what was this mindset that David had of the anointing that made him that great king. That one that Jesus has to come and be called a son of David. A seed of David. What was it that even Revelation says, he who holds the keys of David, that God even today cannot forget that man. There is a mindset that he had. And the Bible tells us in 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 11, and Samuel said to Jesse, are all these the young men here? Then he said, there yet remains the youngest, and there he is, keeping the sheep. And Samuel said to Jesse, send and bring for him, for we will not sit down till he comes. So he sent and brought him in. He was ruddy, with bright eyes and good looking. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is the one. Then Samuel took the horn of the oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel arose and went to Ramah. So David was a shepherd boy. He was ignored. He was forgotten by his brothers. But a day came when God anointed him. Amen. And the Bible says, when the anointing came, the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. And so when we study the life of David, we are able to see what was the mindset that he had. And I'm going to give us some points that will point to how David looked at the anointing. And that mindset, if it comes to us, if that same mindset in us, we shall walk in victory. Amen? So number one is the anointing. He saw the anointing as the very presence of God. The Bible tells us that when the oil was poured upon him, the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day. That means that when you accept Christ and God gives you his Spirit, the Spirit of God comes upon you from that day forward. Amen. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. And so David had an understanding that because he was anointed, there was nowhere he could hide from God. You know, at times you think if you switch off the lights, no one is seeing. But David, in the Psalms, he says 139, verse 7, where can I go from your Spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me. He was even saying later, even if I go to hell, the Spirit of God is there. He had an understanding that God's Spirit was not only with him, but all around him. It doesn't matter whether he's crossing the oceans, whether he's crossing the mountains, whether it is late in the night, whether there is fear all around him. He knows that the Spirit of the Lord is within him. And he knew that the anointing came with the Spirit of the Lord. And that is why when he sinned, he cried out and said, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me.
Restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me by your generous spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways and sinners shall be converted to you. He knew that this presence of God, the moment he failed God and God's spirit was living, he realized he is naked. He realized he is empty. And he said, take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of your salvation. I tell you, when you have the Holy Spirit, there is a joy that God gives you that supersedes everything. And when you lose it, you know it. And as I say, God, when he is not happy, your joy is to repent. Amen. Amen. Number two that David teaches us about the anointing. When you are the anointed, you belong to God. Amen. Say, I belong to God. He owns me. The Lord is my shepherd. You know, when you say of a Lord, he's a landlord. Eh? When you can think, when you say, who is the landlord of this building? That guy is very rich. Eh? You can think, 77 rooms in this hotel. All full. All are paying up to 44,000 per day. You can imagine how much money. That is what is called a Lord. Eh? A landlord. Even when he walks, people see. I don't know how they call it in Bangladesh, big man. Eh? How do you approach the big men? Or you just see them with the cars. They just do this on the road. And everyone has to know. But now, when we say, the anointed, you belong to God. The Lord is my shepherd. He's not a shepherd to communally. That means your spouse can decide to backslide, but if you say the Lord is mine, that means there's a personal decision that you make that the Lord is the one that leads me, I shall not be in want. I don't know what it is that you want. The Bible says, search out the scriptures, none shall want a mate and lack it. That means that even if you're trusting God for marriage, the Bible has already said, none shall desire and be in want. Even the birds, whenever they want to find mates, God gives them. Whenever they fly, they need food. God takes care of them. What about you? The birds of the air, they don't sow, they don't reap. How about you? You shall not be in want. I tell you, when the anointing of God is in your life, you lose your job. For me, I just smile. I say, God is just giving you some days of rest. You just need some break to cool your mind, to refresh, to go and visit your relatives, to visit your grandmother, go back to your hometown, go and visit someone. Then after 2 months, you can come back. There's nothing that you lack. God gives you his peace. And when he gives you his peace, you have so much peace and confidence that you know that even tough times, they are temporary. It is temporary. He says, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me. Look at now the good things. He makes me to lie down in green pasture. That means you are fed well. You are fed well. You don't eat like the chicken. Someone was saying, at the beginning of the month, we eat chicken. And then at the end of the month, you're eating what the chicken eats. Because there is no money. Now, the Lord is saying, he leads you, makes you lie down, relax, chill. Once you learn to walk with God, you will not be feared. People bring stories, oh, this is happening. Calm down. What is it? What can man do to me? And even if they kill you, like they killed the gentleman in the US, they just quickly ushered him to his father. They shot him, yes, but do you think it was the end for him? No, Jesus just welcomed him. In fact, Jesus was just standing. Look, welcome, a martyr, dying for the sake of the gospel. When you understand the mindset that God gives them, fear is gone. Fear is gone. Because you know you have an honor, you have someone who takes care of you. Your job is to relax and eat. Eat both physically and eat spiritually. Amen. He takes you to the right place where you are taught the word of God. He leads me beside still waters. Chaos cannot be the order of your life. Amen. And even if you're in a storm, there is peace in the midst of the storm. Amen. Weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning. The Bible says, He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. If there is something God is jealous about, it's His name. The moment someone abuses you about your God, they have picked a wrong fight. You just tell God, God, you see, now they are no longer attacking me. They are attacking my God. Now, He says He has exalted His name and His word above all else. Never matter what people say. Especially, it's even better when they say, look at this Christian. They are not attacking you. They have taken the battle higher. Goliath took the battle higher. He said, bring me a man. Bring me a man who will fight. And then he started saying, he cursed the gods of Israel. And then when he cursed, David came and said, now, what is this uncircumcised Philistine saying? A man without a covenant. How can he fight and install? The battle belongs to the Lord. So when you look at the Psalms, you can see that David was expressing how he belongs to God. And then he says, yeah, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, that means that he is not staying there. You are just walking through. Amen. Say amen. I am walking through. And I am walking. It's just a walk through. That means that when you pass through the waters, they will not sweep over you. When you pass through the fire, it shall not consume you. It is a walkthrough. You know, David was a man of war. The guy would fight battles. In fact, all those battles were traps. Because Saul sends him to go and die in the battle. He says, let me not kill him. Let the Philistine kill him. So you can imagine. And in those times, you're not shooting from far like guns. No, it's man to man. Sword to sword, shield to shield, spear to spear. And each and every time he fought a battle, he was in the valley. Because battles were not fought in mountains, they were fought in valleys. They were in the valleys of the shadow of death. Your valley might be in the office, your valley might be in your marriage, your valley might be a family issue. But as you're in that valley, just know that you are walking through. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. So David did not fear anything. And he said, why? Because for you are with me. The Spirit of God is always with him. He knew that the Spirit of God was with him. And then he says, your rod and staff, they comfort me. The rod is, so it is wrong. There is that stick, that is short like a club, and fat and round. That one is for fighting lions and fighting wolves. When a watchman has that big stick, that one is the rod. But now the shepherd's staff is the one that is carved. The long one, that one is when the sheep is going to the side, move like this, turn like this. If it is going, you can scoop it out. So he's saying that both the rod, protection, and the staff, guidance, the Lord will guide you. There are times God will discipline you, but He is just directing you. Every son undergoes discipline by the Lord. Amen? You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. God loves to boast. And He uses you and me to boast. He uses you and me to boast. There are things that look like mistakes, but God was just using it as an opportunity to boast about my child. He says, let your light so shine before men that they see your good works and give glory. Glorify my Father in heaven. Your Father in heaven is glorified when you do well. So don't be ashamed to give thanks to God for what God has done. Don't be ashamed to give a testimony. When God has done something good to you, come and say, brothers, God has done something marvelous to me. I'm grateful. I want to give a testimony. Why? Because you're bringing and returning the glory back to God. In the presence of your enemy, God has wanted to kill your enemies. They can be alive, but He has given you a table, a high table. You are eating with Him and they are watching. And He says, you anoint my head with oil and my cup runs over. That means that when your head is anointed with oil, there's something that we see in your cup. You walk in the overflow. Overflow blessings. Abundance of blessings. Abundance of faith. That is the mindset of one that knows they belong to God. And he says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Amen. Number three is the anointing is God's protection. Amen. One of the things that we learn from David, he says, Psalms 20 verse 6 to 8, he says, now I know that the Lord saves his anointed. Can you say, the Lord will save me? The Lord will save me. He answers him from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand. Some trust in chariots, some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. They have bowed down and have fallen, but we have risen, stand upright. Actually, you will rise in Jesus' name. Amen. They will trust in horses. They will trust in guns. They will trust in bulldozers and all this. But us, our trust is in the name of the Lord. Amen. And the Bible says that the Lord is the saving strength of the anointed. That means that when you know by the Spirit of God that the Lord is with you, you know that you have strength that is not natural, is from God. How many of you finish a week and you're like, hey, how did I finish that week? If you look back, you know it was God. There is the strength of God came through. Psalms 91 says, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High God shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him I will trust. Surely he shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler, those are traps of the devil, and from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked. There's a beautiful verse version here. I think it's amplified where it says, only with your eyes shall you be a spectator. Say, I shall be a spectator. You shall only see the reward of the wicked. You are just spectating. 1,000 are falling on your right, 10,000 on your left. Only with your eyes. The Bible tells us that when they went, Psalms 105 verse 13, when they went from one nation to another, from one kingdom to another people, he permitted no one to do them wrong. Yes, he rebuked kings for their sake, saying, do not touch my anointed ones and do my prophets no harm. Can you imagine God protected a whole nation? He called a whole nation of Israel anointed ones. And he said that he permitted no one to do them wrong. That means that for someone to do you wrong, they must take permission from God. They must ask for permission. Look at Job. Satan asked to God and said, God, let me just touch his body. Then God said, okay, you can touch, but don't cross this line. That means that he permitted no one to do them wrong. And in fact, he says, yes. He rebuked kings. It doesn't matter who is up there. They can be rebuked for your sake. When they are rebuked, they just go. Or they are given other problems to look at that are bigger than you. Amen. And they forget about you. Hallelujah. And the word says, touch not my anointed one. I tell you, David had an understanding that when he is anointed by God, he is protected. I tell you, death is nothing. Death just ushers you into the presence of God. And that's why we're told, don't mourn as if those who don't have knowledge or don't have hope. You know that even if you die today as a child of God, where are you going? You're going to your Father. What better place? I tell you, there are so many stories of people who have gone to heaven. When they come back, they say, why did you bring me back? They complain, you, why did you pray for me to come back? Because they were happy. There is so much blessing and joy on that side that it doesn't matter. Look at David, what David. Then David said to the young man, "Where are you from?" And he answered, "I'm the son of an alien, an Amalekite." So David said to him, "How was it that you were not afraid to put forth your hand and destroy the Lord's anointed?" This was a guy who killed Saul. He found Saul bleeding, and then he said, "If I kill him, people will be happy." So he killed. Then David asked him, "Were you not afraid?" That means that in the world, the witch doctors will ask themselves, "Please, don't bring such kind of a person here. Don't bring such case here. Why? Because it is fire for them. Touch not my anointed." Amen. Psalms 34 says, "This poor man cried out, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles." Verse 7, "The angel of the Lord encamps around all those who fear him and delivers them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good." Amen. That means that you can taste and enjoy that the Lord is good. Number 4 that we see about the understanding about the anointing is the righteousness that God gives. Amen. There is a righteousness that comes when you have the Spirit of God. You know that this is not a righteousness that you can earn. We don't earn righteousness. We receive righteousness. Righteousness is a gift from God. It is the right standing. It is God declaring you are not guilty. Can you go imagine you're in court and the judge says this one has stolen. The prosecutor says this one deserves to die. They accuse our brother. The devil says this one deserves to die. And God says, "Let me declare my judgment not guilty." Why? Because he believes in my son Jesus. That's why David says that the Psalms 51 verse 5, verse 6, "Behold, you desire truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden parts you will make known to me wisdom." He says, "Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me hear joy and gladness, that the bones that you have broken may rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out my iniquities." You know, people think of David as the one who committed adultery and murder, but they don't see this David that cried out to God for mercy. That is why you never judge a man's sin. You don't know how he is crying out to God for mercy. He cried out to mercy and said, "Have mercy on me." And then the book of Romans tells us that, Romans chapter 4 verse 4, "Now to him who works, the wages are not counted as grace but as a debt. But to him who does not work but believes on him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is accounted for righteousness." Verse 6, "Just as David also describes the blessedness of the man to whom God imputes righteousness apart from works." He says, "Blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord shall not impute sin." Psalms 130 verse 3 says, "If you, Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand? But in you there is forgiveness that you may be feared." That means if God was to count our sins, even me, Manuel, I cannot stand before. If God were to count all the sins that we have done, there is no man that can stand before God. There is no man that can stand before God. But that is why the righteousness that we have is we receive it by faith. And we believe in the righteousness that God gives us by his son, by his son dying on the cross. And that's why the Bible says David discovered the blessedness of the one to whom the Lord does not count their sins against. I tell you, when you learn to see yourself as how God sees you, you will walk out of sins. You will walk out of fears. You will walk out of things that tell you, "Oh, I am being punished because of this." Why? Because God is not petty. You know, there are people who are petty. God is not petty. He does not treat any man as their sins deserve. But when you approach him through the blood of Jesus, when you appreciate the righteousness that He gives you, then you live in holiness. Amen? Then you live in holiness, because grace and truth go together. Amen? You live a life of truth. Psalms 34 verse 17 says, "The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles." Amen? The Lord will deliver you. Number five is that the anointing gives you favor and influence. Amen? The anointing, when you're anointed by God, there is something that God gives you. It's called favor. Influence. Psalms 113 verse 7 says, "He raises the poor out of the dust, and lifts the needy out of the ash heap, that he may sit him with the princes of his people. He grants the barren woman a home, like a joyful mother of children." Praise the Lord. Amen. The Lord raises the poor from the dust. I don't know how many of you started where you are, but if you look at your life, you will know that indeed God raises the poor from the dust. And He brings them to sit with the princes of the land. We are not here by accident. It is by the lifting up of God. It is God that lifts up men. Never think that you rise on your own wisdom or your own intelligence. There is something that God gives you, that people see you and they say, "No, I need this person in my team. I need this person in my team at all costs." He raises the poor from the dust. God, the anointing will give you favor. It will give you influence. You will grow. Think of John the Baptist. The Bible says that he went to the wilderness to preach. And all of Judea, Israel, they all came to him in the wilderness. That means it does not matter where you are. When you have something that God has placed on you, people will look for you. They will look for you. They will just say, "There is someone in that country, deep in the heart of Round Village. There is a guy we know who knows how to play music." That is how they found David, the musician. The son was struggling. And they say, "I know a son of Jesse. He plays the harp." Amen? That is influence. That is the anointing locating you. Favor. Look at it. Saul thought that the wife of David will be a snare to him. But the woman loves David. Michal loves David. Jonathan, who is supposed to take the inheritance of the throne from his father's son, loves David. Now, the people, they love David. They say David has killed 10,000. Saul has killed thousands. That is influence. That is the anointing. Psalms 92 verse 10 says, "But my horn thou shalt exalt like the horn of a unicorn. I shall be anointed with fresh oil." Amen. "And the righteous flourish like a palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of God. They shall still bear fruit in old age. They shall be fresh and flourishing." Say, "I shall be fresh and flourishing. I shall, even in old age, I will still bear fruit." Amen. Declare, "Even in old age, I will still be shining." They'll be saying, "Mama, you look like a 30-year-old. Hey, what are you doing?" They say, "Look at this man. He is old but straight." Because you are planted in the house of the anointing makes you look young. You will, it's the truth. You never meet an anointed person who is just looking old and ugly. Oh, there is a glory that God covers them. That you are shining. And you keep shining. Say, "The path of the just keeps shining and shining." And say, "My life is shining. I am shining. I am shining. I'm increasing. I'm growing in influence." Amen? Amen. The Bible tells us that men who are dejected, rejected, distressed, they came and gathered around David. David was alone, running away from Saul. But when the anointing came upon him, 400 men came and followed him. They were weak men, they were wounded men, they were distressed men, they were in debt, they were discontented, but he became their captain. And these 400 men became the mighty men of David. That means the anointing on you has the capacity to even influence your team. It will grow them. But people that are under you, I tell you, when you're under any lady books, under this church, you will grow. Hallelujah. You will grow. Why? Because there is anointing that you feed on. And you will start to replicate things that I see in my life, I start to see in your life. Why? Because there is an anointing that flows. There's an influence. David was just in a cave of Adullam with 400 men, playing music, teaching them the word of God. They see him pray. They see him worship. They start to pray and worship. Then they start to become mighty men. That one guy, Shama, he stood in a field of lentils. He is standing alone. They fight. Everyone runs away. The guy defends it. Until they say the hand and the, whether it was the spear or the sword, became one. And he defeated a mighty victory. The anointing will favor you. It will favor your family. It will favor your children. That is the spirit of God. When you have a mindset of the anointed, you don't fear about applying for jobs. Just wait for God to tell you apply for this one. They will do whatever they want. They will cancel. They will do what? If it is yours, it is yours. It will come. Even when you make a mistake, God can still correct it. They can say, no. This person maybe made a mistake. But let us call him to find out why. And when he does that, you know it is the anointing, it is the favor, it is the influence. The Bible tells us that there was a long war between the house of Saul and the house of David. But David grew stronger and stronger, and the house of Saul grew weaker and weaker. I tell you, it doesn't matter what battle you're facing. Yes. You will grow stronger and stronger.
Amen.
They will grow weaker and weaker.
Amen.
What? It's the anointing. You know, the anointing is not fair. God's favor, like, you know, in your house, you have a cup that you like. There is a cup that you like taking tea from. It might not be the most expensive. It might not be the most beautiful, but you still like it. Now, that cup has found favor with your eyes. Now, what he say? You are my favorite. So it doesn't matter whether people hate you, they don't like you. You move when God says it's time.
Yes.
Amen? Amen? And you're moving from one level of glory to another.
Amen.
Proverbs 16, verse 7, this is a verse that you will love. It says, when a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. When your ways please the Lord, even your enemies will be at peace with you. They will wonder, but why are we fighting this guy? Let us make peace with him. That is what they came to Abraham. They said, we know this guy will become a mighty man. Let us come and make peace with him. They will see from afar and say, here, this one I cannot win. When you speak out, number 6, and these verses, please go and meditate on them, read them. I will jump others. Go and read. That is why the notes are there. Amen. Number 6 is the anointed is a servant of God. Amen.
Amen.
That's why I kept saying, when you are anointed, ask yourself, what do I need to do for the house of God? Don't just take the anointing and sit on it. David was anointed and made king. Maybe you're anointed in your office. Make a difference. Make an influence in the office. Start something. Start a prayer thing in the office. Start a Bible study. Gather your Christians. If you're in a Christian organization, preach there. Make a difference. There's a time and a season why God has placed you where you are. Make friends, influence, pray for people. As you sit on your desk, pray for that organization. Pray that no evil shall be done through your hands, through your organization. Pray that God will guide you, that no corruption shall pass your hands. That you shall stand in the gap and make a difference. You are there for a reason. The moment you stop doing what God sent you to do, when the salt loses its saltiness, it is useless and it will be thrown away and trampled by men. The reason why men lose their thrones is they stop doing what God brought them to do. Please, when you're anointed and you're given an office, do what God sent you to do. Stay there. God has given you a grace for intercession. Stay there. God has given you a grace for teaching. Stay there. God has given you a grace for singing, for accounting. Stay there. Don't resign. Hey. Maybe someone wants to resign. Don't resign. Stay there. There's a reason why God took you there. And you will find out. It might be to save one person who might come 3 years from now. But that is why, that is the person God saw. God is very strategic.
God's servant. Amen.
God said, I have found my servant David. With my holy oil, I have anointed him, with whom my hand shall be established, also my arm shall strengthen him. Psalms 89, verse 20 and 21. God is saying, I have found my servant David. That means when the anointing comes, when the oil comes, it's coming for servants. David was serving his father, taking care of sheep. He was serving his brothers, bringing for them food. He was serving Saul, giving him music. He was serving Saul, fighting the Israelites. He was serving the Israelites, going into war to them. He lived a life of service. I tell you, there's no one who serves God that God lives empty. Some of the secrets of life is service. If God is to choose between someone who is serving him and someone who does not serve him to get a job, who will he give? He will give the servant. If God is to choose between a giver, a tither, and a person who is not tithing and giving to be given a job, who will he give? He will give the tither and the giver. It's simple. It's not a bribe to God, but the reality is God also honors those who do things according to his word. Number 7, which is the last one. The anointing is a covenant. Amen. It is God's covenant. That's why David said to the Philistine, who is this uncircumcised Philistine? This man without a covenant. Because to them, their circumcision was the covenant, the mark of the covenant. So he said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine? There's a time you need to ask yourself, who are you, uncircumcised Philistine? Man without a covenant trying to kick me out of this land, trying to kick me out of this job. Don't you know that I have a covenant with God? Don't you know that that covenant God fights for me? Don't you know that God intervenes even when I don't know it? You know, when you are in a covenant, you're in an agreement. And there are terms and conditions. And as you do your part, believing, he does his part. Action. Amen. He fights. God said that, look at it, the 2 Chronicles 13 verse 5. Should you not know that the Lord God of Israel gave the dominion over Israel to David forever? Look at this. To him and his sons by a covenant of salt. Have you asked yourself what that means? The covenant of salt means that it cannot be changed. It cannot be annulled. It cannot be. That is why even David, even Jesus, for Jesus to come, he has to come under the sons of David. Why? Because God has already given David a covenant by forever, a covenant of salt. And look at it. God says, you are the salt of the earth. That means that you are that new covenant that he cannot annul, he cannot change. You will influence the world. You will change the world. And will make a difference because you are anointed. Listen to this message again and again. Meditate on these scriptures again and again. And let that mind that was in Christ Jesus be in you. Let that mind settle. Let that mind enter. Recognize who God has said you are and what he has done for your life. Let's take a moment and close our eyes.